The poll did not include numbers for Republican Joe Miller, who is also vying for the seat held by U.S. Senator Mark Begich. The specter of his 2010 run against Senator Lisa Murkowski looms large over his current campaign. Some of the residual effects strengthen Miller's candidacy, but the negatives are persistent. APRN's Liz Ruskin has this campaign profile.
Here's the story Joe Miller likes to tell about health care that he told at his campaign launch in April. When he was in first grade, he injured his lip in a bad fall.
And hit my face flat out on the floor. We didn't have health care, so of course I had to go to the doctor.
It healed badly. He lived with the disfigurement for 6 years, but he saved his money to pay for surgery.
I got a bus ticket. I went down to Wichita, Kansas, got an appointment, found a doctor, paid, I think at the time, $200 or $300, and cut the scar tissue off, and that was seventh grade.
It's a story of self-reliance and free enterprise, well-suited to a Tea Party candidate who rails against Obamacare, who says we must slash federal spending and entitlements to avoid national bankruptcy. There's another health care story he doesn't talk about. After Miller moved to Alaska and had kids of his own, his family signed up for Medicaid, the government health insurance program for the poor. Asked repeatedly how he feels about that period in his family's history, Miller turned the question into one of federal mandates.
I think it's an upside-down world when we think that the ruling class in Washington, D.C. should be making all these calls and decisions for us.
He says each state should decide whether to provide assistance. This is as close as he would come to discussing his own experience on Medicaid.
My family has been in situations where we have been in need. And as a consequence of it, our objective is not to leave other people in need. The objective is to make sure that we don't end up hitched up to a federal government that completely tubes the entire country.
The Medicaid episode is just one of a string of unflattering revelations from 2010. His campaign website lists some of them as myths. It minimizes the 2008 incident where he used his co-workers' computers at the Fairbanks North Star Borough to skew an online political poll. The campaign says he had a lapse in judgment. The time his bodyguards handcuffed a reporter? They weren't paid campaign staff, Miller's website explains, and anyway, one of them turned out to be an FBI informant working for the other side. As for the farm subsidies he accepted in the 90s, Miller says it was only about $100 a month. He says he's not sure he could refuse them since they were in place when he acquired the Kansas farmland.
I think that provides me with a better position probably than many other people to comment on why those programs are bad. You've got a government that basically is directing the farmer to grow a certain crop.
Miller beat Murkowski in the 2010 primary, only to lose to her in the general when she mounted a write-in campaign. He is clearly bitter toward Republicans who helped Murkowski win. He says he was done in by the Republican establishment and a multi-million dollar smear campaign against him. Miller says his worst mistake of 2010 was letting establishment wing Republicans work on his campaign.
One of the biggest lessons was to keep the loyal folk around you and to recognize that when you're an anti-establishment reform candidate, you're going to have enemies from all sorts of unexpected places.
Miller points out he's the only non-millionaire in the race. He grew up in Kansas, the son of a church pastor, and he tells his supporters his family got by despite limited means.
My mom, for example, how many people remember Tough Skins from Sears? You know why you bought Tough Skins when you were a kid? Because you wore out the knee, Sears would give you a new pair.
He's a West Point grad and a veteran of the first Gulf War. He has a Yale law degree, and he's worked as a borough attorney and a magistrate. He also has a master's of economics from UAF. He and his wife, Kathleen, have 8 children and a grandchild. While 2010 left him with big negatives, he also emerged with a good chunk of campaign cash, more than $800,000. He transferred about half of it to the current campaign. Another benefit that grew from his 2010 race is a cadre of loyalists. His campaign launch in Wasilla was crowded with eager supporters. Christopher Kirka, executive director of Alaska Right to Life, was there with his family. Alaska Right to Life later endorsed Miller, even though his Republican opponents say they too oppose abortion. Kirka says his group is certain of Miller's commitment.
Joe's pro-life rhetoric is rooted in the core of who he is.
Anchorage political blogger Amanda Coyne says Miller appears more confident and fluent than he did in 2010. She ticks off his assets as a candidate.
Well, he has command of the issues, number one. He's got a clear vision, number two. He's incredibly articulate, number three. And he has his message appeals to the Tea Party base in the state, and the Tea Party base is very devoted and very committed to their candidates.
But Coyne says there's not much he can do to convince Alaskans to ignore what they learned about him 4 years ago.
To try to get over that 2010, those 2010 negatives would demand almost a personality transplant, and he's not going to do that, and he has no intention of doing that, from what I've seen at least, and I don't think he can do that.
Polls suggest Miller is trailing Republicans Dan Sullivan and Mead Treadwell. If he loses on August 19, would he run as a third-party candidate? Miller won't say.
To do so, it'd be making basically a vicarious promise to both of my opponents that have already demonstrated a lack of trust in that area. They both, of course, supported Murkowski in 2010 against the Republican nominee.
As Miller sees it, Sullivan and Treadwell didn't respect his win in that primary, so they don't deserve his pledge to concede if he loses in this primary. For APRN, I'm Liz Ruskin.